is Tennessee Talks with United States Congressman Tim Burchett.
Hey, everybody, I'm Congressman Tim Burchett. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Tennessee Talks. I added the exciting in there because today we've got a really cool guest with us. I've got Mary Margaret Olahan. Did I say that right, Mary Margaret?
You did.
Are you a Catholic girl?
I am.
A name like Mary Margaret, you better be. I want to thank you so much for being here, Mary Margaret. And she is a senior reporter for the Daily Wire. She's previously reported for the Daily Caller as well as the Daily Signal. It's a lot of dailies. She recently wrote a book, D-Trans, True Stories of Escaping the Gender Ideology Cult. And I want to say congratulations, and I want to thank you so much for being here with us. It's really a cool, it's really an honor, ma'am. It's timely, too, because I feel like the devil's laughing at us right now. We're on a grease pole. I mean, literally, I feel like this stuff is satanic. But before we get to your book, I want to know just how well Tennessee is treating you since you've made the big move to Nashville.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Like I was telling you, it's an honor to be here. And it's so much fun to be in Tennessee, where I have moved now in Nashville to work for Daily Wire. It's just a very cool experience down here. I'm still getting to know the area, but I'm liking a lot what I see so far.
Yeah, I was there, last Friday, Saturday night or something. I can't even remember. It was in and out pretty much, but a lot of scooters and a lot of girls getting married. It's like the wedding party. What do you call that?
Bachelorette Central.
Bachelorette part capital of the world right now.
And I think so.
I just see a lot of drunk girls in cowboy boots riding those stupid scooters. And, anyway, that's part of it, I guess. But anyway, congratulations on your book, D-Trans, True Stories of Escaping the Gender Ideology Cult. Why'd you write that book about the trans situation now?
Well, I decided to write this book because I'm a culture reporter. I've been covering culture issues, so abortion, marriage, gender, family, for a number of years now. And this was something that I started noticing more and more. Before a lot of people were talking about it, honestly, was these young people who tried to transition and then realized that it's impossible, obviously, and tried to go back to living as their biological sex, only to find that they had all these hormonal issues from the drugs they had been taking, and they had all kinds of irreversible effects on their voices and on their bodies, and those who had underwent irreversible surgeries had to deal with that as well. And several years ago, I was listening in on a Twitter Spaces event with some of these people, and they were all anonymous, but I listened in as a reporter and I could not believe what I was hearing. I just was blown away because at the time we had just started talking about the women's sports issue. And I think a lot of people were wary of really getting into the nitty gritty of these transgender interventions because, you know, there was such a political divisiveness to it. And now, thankfully, there's a very different attitude towards it where many Americans are fundamentally opposed to this type of thing and even went to the polls to vote for Trump specifically on this issue. But when I chose to write the book, I wanted to elevate the stories of detransitioners to help people understand you might be Republican, you might be Democrat, but if you look at these stories of these young girls who went through this, you're not going to come away saying, yes, we should be okaying gender transitions for minors no matter what. I think you're going to come away from these stories and say, we need to slow down. We need to give our kids the gift of adolescence. We need to allow them to at least be 18 years old before we push them down these irreversible life paths. So that was my goal with the book. And I think, honestly, I've heard so many people tell me that they were moved by the stories in kind of a non-political way. And that was really my goal here.
Yeah, I'm friends with Riley Gaines, her daddy, and our big buddies, Brad. And it always amazes me when people are confronted with the facts. They move to, well, it's just such a small minority. And I was like, well, you know, if it's your daughter who gets knocked out of a scholarship or gets literally knocked out in a volleyball game or gets ties with a dude who can't cut it in male sports and he gets the medal, as in the case of Riley Gaines, you know, and then the NCAA has no guts. the Olympics have no guts. Finally, the LPGA, the Women's Golfers Association, finally decided to reverse their
Thank
reason.
God.
I think that has a lot to do with they saw the, like you said, a lot of people went to the polls. That was their issue, and you can't
Yes.
argue with that. I'm also I hope you do a follow-up book on all the lawsuits that are going to happen with these kids, because they're going to be, like you said, it's irreversible. You take a drug and it suppresses a hormone, and then at the later stages of life, your body doesn't produce those hormones, and then they're out, and that and they're not going to develop. And then, of course, the surgery. I cannot, I mean, shame on the medical profession, shame on Big Pharma, shame on these hospitals that allow this butchery to go on. To me, it's just, you know, and I had a lady came to see me, and she said she wanted to know why I was denying her child health care. And I said, what are you talking about? And her son was allegedly becoming a woman, which we know that doesn't, you can't. And I mean, you know, if the kid's gay, just let him live gay, be gay. It's even in Tennessee, nobody gives a rip. One of my best friends just happens to be gay. Him and his boyfriend have been over to our house on Christmas. I don't care. It's not like it's catching or anything. You know, it's not my worry. It's their business. And I just and the argument I got into with her was that they she was saying how that I said, well, how was he diagnosed with this? And she said, oh, he's self-diagnosed, you know, and it all happened during COVID, if you notice. The kids were sequestered or put in without any access to anybody, and all they had was that stupid computer.
Yes.
And then it starts, you know, you fit the algorithm, and then all of a sudden, why is my body like this? Why am I mean, I don't know about you, but I was an awkward kid. And,
Yes,
you know,
I was
I don't know anybody who wasn't. So
as well.
me, the whole thing, it just drives me crazy. Tell our listeners what you heard firsthand about the therapy sessions, this manipulative therapy that they were going through.
Yes, this is one of the worst aspects of this whole gender ideology cult because these therapists, and I know this from speaking with detransitioners, and I also know this from speaking with friends I have who work in the therapy business, they're told that if a child comes in and tells you that they're trans, you need to say they're trans. And only a brave therapist nowadays would actually push back on that because you could lose your job. And so the standard of care when it comes to therapy now is to affirm someone who identifies as transgender and to help them go down that path. And many of these therapists will recommend you for hormone treatment pretty much as soon as you tell them that you identify as transgender. And for example, Prisha Mosley, one of these girls that was in the book, she went to a place called, I believe, Tree of Life Counseling in North Carolina. And that therapist, she's alleged in her lawsuit, that therapist pushed her down this path to transitioning very, very quickly, and also told her mother, who was worried about Prisha undergoing this type of thing, that therapist told Prisha's mother, would you rather have a dead daughter or a living son? And in that way, manipulated Prisha's mother, who had gut instincts as a parent that this wasn't the right thing for her daughter, like many Americans do. But like many Americans, she was duped by this therapist who played on her sympathies and played on her fears for her daughter and helped her to enable this gender transition, which really is just a horrible thing. And I think it's under discussed the way parents are victimized by all of this as well. Obviously, there's some very evil parents out there that are pushing their kids down this path out of a desire to, promote themselves or get attention. But I think a lot of the time, what we're seeing happen is parents who love their kids. They want their kids to be safe and happy. They don't think their kids are born in the wrong body, but they don't know what to do. And it's kind of held over them like a threat. Your child will kill themselves if they don't get this so-called care. Well, like you were saying, it's not care. It is irreversible treatments that are going to negatively impact their body and they will regret one day. And thankfully, that's beginning to come to light. Through these lawsuits, including one that was filed last week against one of the most high-profile transgender doctors, Johanna Olson Kennedy, I believe is her name. And this lawsuit is alleging, accusing her of medical malpractice or medical negligence in the way she pushed one of these kids down this path. So I think these lawsuits are hugely influential. And I also think the work of people like you to bring this issue to light and to help people understand what we're talking about here has been massive, because this is one of those cases where, more than anything else, the truth will set us free.
You know, I've said there's a mental component to this, the mental health, mental illness, and there's actually a term that's used for it. And you know, I was kicked off a very conservative news outlet. I won't name the name, but because I did, I said it was a mental illness, and I read out of the medical journal what the exact, what do you think? Do you think it is a mental illness that when this
Well,
they get to this point?
I would argue yes. I mean, when you think, as I don't care what age you are, if you think that you are, let's say you're a girl and you think that you're a man, that's not true. There's something wrong there. You've either been lied to, and you're a weak person and you're not believing realities, or you are mentally ill. And in many of these cases, these people who are undergoing gender transitions are in fact mentally ill. They've got anorexia, they've got depression, anxiety, schizophrenia. A lot of these people are suffering from mental illnesses and need help. And instead of actually getting care, they're given so-called gender-affirming care, which only exacerbates their symptoms. And I can tell you, a lot of the time, their mental health conditions are just ignored. So they go into this needing help with real conditions, and instead they're given gender-affirming care on top of that, that's going to hurt them. So they emerge from all of this with all of their issues compounded and more physical and mental disabilities on top of that. So it's truly a cruel thing. And I think a good example of that is one of the girls in my book. She was deeply anorexic. And when she went in for her surgery, she told me she was excited, partially because she wanted to undergo this gender transition, but also partially because she knew she would lose 8 pounds if they removed her breasts. And that's a very mentally ill young woman, you know, who's struggling already. She needed people to help her with her anorexia, not compound it with this attempted gender transition.
Why do you think conservatives don't have the guts to take on this issue?
I think for a long time, it was considered dangerous to get into this issue because a lot of people were nervous that it would be considered transphobic. And then when they got over that fear, there was a concern that it would be considered homophobic. You know, there's always, people are always afraid to meddle with these LGBTQ issues because the left has been very successful at painting it as just unacceptable to push back in whatever way. But I think actually one of the major players in helping people understand the realities of this has been Donald Trump. And I wouldn't have said that 4 years ago. I certainly would not have. But we did a massive story here at Daily Wire right before the election, and I talked to a lot of different gender activists and people in the Trump campaign about how Trump ish or how Trump messaged on this topic, because one of his most successful ads, in fact, it was his most successful ad, was that messaging on Kamala Harris supporting taxpayer-funded gender transitions surgeries for prisoners. And he put out that ad on that, and so many people saw it during football games or what have you. And the reaction to it across the board was, "What? That's crazy. Why would you support such a thing?" But it was real, and all he had to do was use her own words. And there was a lot of that throughout this election cycle where Republicans would literally just say, "Well, my opponent supports this." And most Americans don't support those things, and they find it crazy. So just to see it exposed was massively impactful. So I think that the Trump campaign deserves a lot of credit for shining light on this issue. But people who also deserve credit are the gender activists and grassroots parents and you know, teachers who took a stand against the radical gender ideology in schools. Like, this started from the bottom, and it involved many people who took a stand, refused to back down, people like Riley Gaines. And I believe the tide is turning on gender ideology because all of this. And before long, we're going to look back at this period and say, can you believe that people were pushing these things?
I hope that, yeah, and but it's gonna ruin some people financially because these lawsuits will get there. You get a jury trial on this, and a kid's up there that's been mutilated by one of these butchers, man, Hanging's too good for those folks. I mean, it just drives me crazy. The Hippocratic Oath says, basically do no harm. It seems like our doctors are just ignoring that oath to do no harm. Why do you think that is? It's got to be a lot of money in this thing.
Absolutely. I think there's several reasons, and money is certainly one of them. Back a couple of years ago, Matt Walsh exposed Vanderbilt Medical University Center and one of their professionals talking about how these transgender surgeries were, quote unquote, big money maker.
They said they weren't even doing it, and then Matt busted them pretty good. That was a good lick on his part.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the biggest parts of that expose was this professional saying calling these things money makers. I mean, the honesty there is appalling, but it is just across the board true that these are very expensive and they're profitable for the gender industry. But also, I get hung up on this part. The Human Rights Campaign, this very radical left-wing organization that supports gender transition surgeries for kids. They score all of these hospitals based on how pro-trans they are. And if you don't meet their requirements, they give you a bad score. And that impacts a lot of different things for these hospitals and how much money they get, and how much resources and funding from these different groups that they get. And it also, the HRC also does this for corporations, which is why you see groups like Walmart or Target, all these different corporations promoting gender stuff. And even why you might see some big media companies that you might be surprised by promoting these types of things, because they're really stuck in the middle of this radical grading system that's put a lot of people in a corner, which thankfully we're seeing that turn around. I believe Walmart was the latest to say they're not going to follow these rules anymore, but it certainly is impacting hospitals as well. And a lot of these doctors, I'm sorry to say, are just cowards when it comes to this topic. They did take an oath to do no harm, and they're not standing up for these children. And the ones who are silenced and canceled and treated terribly. So, another thing we should really be worried about is the next generation of doctors. They're in medical school right now being taught that gender ideology is the most important thing. They're being taught to prioritize ideology over facts and science. And when you're in the medical profession, as I'm sure you know, that's the most important thing, facts and science to treat the human body. Ideology isn't going to get you much anywhere except a harmed or disfigured or really scarred patient. And so that's a real fear of mine, is to see this next generation of doctors and how they're going to do, frankly, in treating Americans, because they're not being given the education that they should have, and they're being taught honestly, completely fake science when it comes to gender.
I know that I want to get I don't want we'll run out of time, but the Supreme Court has just heard arguments on the Tennessee ban on transgender care. Would you break that down for our listeners who aren't caught up with all that?
Yes, so this was a huge development. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments in this case last week, and this is a case dealing with Tennessee's law that protects kids from transgender procedures and basically bans doctors from performing these procedures on kids under the age of 18. And shocker, the Biden administration doesn't like that. Biden administration and the ACLU argued that kids should be able to get these procedures, and they brought in a bunch of trans families, so-called parents with these young people who think that they are born in the wrong body. And tried to say, look, these kids should be able to undergo these procedures to help them be the opposite sex. And I actually would argue that that probably would backfire on the Biden administration. They think that they're humanizing this case by showing these families, whereas America and Americans can look at them and think, oh my gosh, why are these families doing this to their kids? These kids need help, not these procedures. So I was outside the court, I was interviewing people, I talked to one mother who told me that she's been transitioning her daughter to a boy, that her daughter figured out that she was a boy at age 12. And I said to this mom, what are you going to do if your daughter comes to you someday and says, Mom, I'm not a boy. I realized that this was all a lie. And now I removed my breasts and I'm never going to be able to breastfeed. And that woman literally looked me in the eye and said, well, that's the least of my concerns right now. And so I think that's a very prevalent attitude. It's a very horrifying attitude. You can see that video on my Twitter. It's my pinned tweet.
I
But
actually
this
saw
is.
that. I know exactly one. And I saw another one. I'm not sure if it was you or not. And they asked when the person, when they thought their kid realized that they needed to transition. And they said, oh, about 1.5 or
Oh.
something. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yes, that was my friend Elizabeth Troutman, I believe, for Daily Signal. Incredible clip exposing just the absolute insanity of this issue. And those are evil, evil parents. If
They
they're
are. The Lord's gonna, his judgment will come one day for these people. I firmly believe that because there's more to this. I think there's a demonic element to this. And you mentioned it earlier, their drive for national, identity and all this stuff. There's this one, I forget, I used to kind of follow it, him. It was a little boy became a girl, and
Oh, yeah.
she's all over. It was like they made a reality show
Yes.
with him. And
Jazz Jennings, I think.
yeah, that's the one. And then, and it bloated up, suffered depression and went through all these things. And I suspect one day I don't expect a good ending with that one at all. And it just goes down the list. I know we got to go, but I've actually talked to some folks in the gay community. I said, you all need to look, you got gay marriage, you got equal rights, you're protected under the Constitution. You ought to back off this one. I think you're hurting your cause, but I don't think they got the guts to do it. And
There were activists at the Supreme Court echoing what you were just saying. They were on the pro-family side arguing, yeah, this is hurting our cause. Stop pushing these radical sentiments.
yeah, and I just it just drives me crazy. The whole thing is just sickening. I've seen the pictures, the post-op and all that, and they're celebrating, the families are. I mean, you got two kids and they're both this. Obviously, it's upbringing, it's their family or lack thereof. So, but anyway, ma'am, I cannot thank you enough for coming on. Now, here's the part of the show I hate the most, and my guests love the most. You can ask me any question you would like.
I was excited about this, and I asked my colleagues, and they told me I need to ask you about UFOs because apparently you were the UFO mastermind.
Well, no, I don't know about all that. I was, it's funny. I was asked by TMZ, who is the king of all media, I guess. I'm not sure, but that's what started it all. And a guy asked me a question one day about the UFO report, and I said, I think it looked like it shot by a 12-gauge shotgun. I think I said more people believe in UFOs than believe in Congress. I ended up putting that on a T-shirt, selling on my site, and people buy. I was at a thing with a bunch of preachers the other day, and some preacher unzipped his jacket and said, "Hey, Tim," and he had that shirt on, I think. But no, I just it's a cover up. It's not about little green men or flying saucers. We're spending tens of millions of dollars on something, and they just will not tell us. And honestly, I mean, do you think we're the best that God can do? I don't know. I have my questions about that. But I've seen some things and been briefed and by some people. So, but some of it I'm not at liberty to talk about. But I hope President Trump will do full disclosure, and that will clear up a lot of the confusion. But anyway, ma'am, thank you so much. This has been very informative, and I'm sure it will be get a lot of hate mail, which I hope, because that means we're over the target. And you're very dynamic, and I hope you're very successful, and I hope your book is huge. And I'm gonna look for it. I might even, and I'm tight as a tick, I might even buy a copy of it. So
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a wonderful conversation.
yes, ma'am, and I hope you enjoy Tennessee. If Nashville gets too liberal, you come over to East Tennessee, and
I will.
you and my wife and daughter can be best friends.
I would love that.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. And I'm Congressman Tim Burch, and I want to thank everybody for listening and watching another episode of Tennessee Talks. And I, as always, thank y'all for sending me here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Tennessee Talks. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Keep up with Congressman Burchett by following Rep. Tim Burchett on Twitter and Instagram, and Congressman Tim Burchett on Facebook and YouTube.